Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Good to see everybody here once again. Come back after camp meeting for a couple weeks. Brothers, and I just pray that the Holy Spirit has been good to each and every one of you. And the scripture reading for today is Proverbs 20:12. The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. And yes, He has done that. What a magnificent God we serve. Is that right? That's right. He gave His all. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ here as a gift for us. And also the gift of pardon. We are guilty, but we've been pardoned. And one day soon we may reap that reward. Very soon. So we just pray that all of us are ready to have that pardon in our lives. Let's start with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for Your gift of the Son. Thank You for the pardon that You have been given us, and that through Jesus Christ we may be able to accept it. Thank You that we may, in spite of the veil of sin between us yet, have that window of communication that is open to us, and that we take heed of that, and that we have communion with Thee through prayer. We just pray, Father, for guidance and direction that we may truly be Yours. In Your precious name, amen. Yes, today I'm going to talk from a book, The Quiet Talk of Prayer. And it's the listening side of prayer that we do that. And we talked a little bit in Sabbath school this morning about God talking to us, whether we hear Him or not. But He does talk to us in different ways, even today. And that communication is open. That window is still there. You know, and God's children can talk to God, and He will listen, and He does answer. It's one of the greatest outlets of power that is given us is prayer. You know, it's one thing that we can do for God to be His children. It is to pray, and I pray that we do that. And I don't know about you, but many times I lack the prayer time that I should have. I lack that. And we don't have time. We don't have time. But we have to take the time to pray. We have to have that time with God and with the Lord Jesus Christ. So I pray that we find time, no matter what and how we do it, you know. It's just that we have to have that time to pray ourselves. And many times it looks like prayer is only one-sided, and that's our side. But we know that that's not so. There's also the listening side of prayer. We have to listen to God and what He says. We have to take time. Instead of getting up off our knees right away and start doing other things, we need to take time to listen. And I pray that each one of us does that. You know, we have to have a trained ear. In the prayer, for prayer, the ear is of the most importance. The tongue is equally important also, but we must have the ear first. You know, we just need that there. The ear leads to the tongue. We know that a child learns to speak through the ear. As he hears his parents talking to him, as he hears his siblings talking to him there. And when the faculties of the tongue are normal and trained that way, and that's nature's method, is to train from the ear to the tongue. The mind is molded largely through the ear and the eye. It reveals itself, and then it asserts itself largest through the tongue. What the ear lets in, the mind works over, and the tongue gives out, whether it's positive or negative, whether it's good or bad. And I know that I get myself in trouble many times because of my tongue. They're both of equal importance, the ear and the eye. But in prayer, the ear has to come first, no matter what. If you turn to Isaiah 50, verse 4, it gives the order for there. Isaiah 50, verse 4. Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He awaketh morning by morning. He awakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. And we know that we do, so that's the way we do it. You know, through the awakened ear. If we give God just a little chance with our ears, we know that we're not going to have a taught tongue. We have to have a taught tongue to be able to be one of God's children and to be able to give the message. There's been a number of mighty men in the Bible that have known God well. We're going to talk about three of those today. They seem to be particularly sensitive to Him and to be overawed with the sense of His love and His majesty and His greatness. And three of them, I said, in the Old Testament characters that are mentioned that were mighty in power. Jeremiah tells us that when God spoke to him about the deep perversity of that nation, he explained in Jeremiah 15:1, just the first part. Then said the Lord unto me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me. Here's talking about Moses and Samuel. And then when James wanted an illustration of a man of prayer for the scattered Jews, he speaks of Elijah in James 5, verses 17 and 18, in the one particular crisis in the life of Elijah, and that was a prayer on Carmel's mountaintop. These three men of Israel were great men there in the great crises of that nation. You know, Moses was the maker and the molder of a nation. Samuel was a patient teacher who introduced a new order of things in the national life of Israel. Elijah was a rugged leader when the national worship of Jehovah was almost about to be officially overthrown. These three men, the maker, the teacher, the emergency leader, are all singled out in the record as particularly men of prayer. When we look at these men, we observe what listeners they were to God's voice. And are we listening to God's voice today? Do we take time to have our ears trained as these men did, you know, where they were trained long and easily? They had great acuteness for hearing God's word. Seems that special pains was taken with Moses, who was a great giant and was one of the greatest jurists that the Bible had ever known, the world had ever known. And there's two distinct stages in the training of Moses' ears. Now, first, there was 40 years in the solitude of the desert, alone with the sheep and with the stars. God used that time to train him. His ears were being trained by silence. The bustle and the confusion of Egypt was being taken out of his ears. And how silent are God's voices? I was going to stand up here for about 5 minutes and not say nothing. And then I thought maybe you'd probably get mad at me for doing that, to see that. But how long many of us are strong enough to be able to endure silence? I know after a hard day's work, things do it. We'd like to get home, sit in our chair, put up our feet, and just, you know, sit back and quiet and listen, you know. That doesn't happen. But in silence, God speaks to us and speaks to our inner ear. So we need to listen. Some of you might have heard this story of a gentleman that was asked by an artist friend to come in to his home to look at a picture that he had drawn. You know, the gentleman went at the appointed time. He was shown by the attendant into a room that was dark. And he was left there. And the gentleman, you know, felt that was kind of odd, you know, to do that. But after about 15 minutes, the guest came and gave him a cordial invite and took him upstairs to the studio to see the picture that was greatly amused at, admired, you know. But before he left, the artist asked him, "I suppose you thought it strange to be left in that dark room for so long?" And the reply was, "Yes, I did." But his friend replied, "I knew that if you came into my studio with the glare of the street in your eyes, you could not appreciate the fine coloring of the picture. So I left you in that dark room till the glare had worn out of your eyes." And that's what we need. We need to have the glare of the world taken out of our eyes and out of our ears so that we can be children of the living God. That was part of the first stage of Moses' prayer training, was wearing the the noise of Egypt out of his ears and out of his life so that he could hear the quiet tones of God's voice speaking to him. He became skilled in prayer by training of that 40 years of service in the countryside. But then his second stage for that, after the 40 years, was the 40 days that Moses spent on the mount listening to the voice of God. It was training his ears so that he could be the great skilled intercessor for Egypt. God wanted to use him. And that's where we had the training of God's voices. You don't need that. And then there's Samuel. He received an earlier course than Moses, because as a child, before his ears would be filled with the noise of the world around him, he was trained to hear God's voice as a child. His ears were opened upward. They heard easily and readily. And I pray that our ears are listening to that, that we can hear easily and readily. He was trained to hear God's voice. And the Hebrew nation came to know him as a mighty God, mighty man that God spoke to. And then of the three of the famous intercessors, Elijah, there's only really a few events that stick out for his life that was meant. But it's that climax was that the ear-listening life on the Carmel's experience of rain. In the beginning of chapter 18 of 1 Kings, that tells of the Carmel conflict begins with a message from God to Elijah. The word of the Lord came to Elijah, I will send rain upon the earth. There had been 3.5 years with no rain. The crops were gone. There was no crops to be had. There was a famine in the land. And it had been predicted that that would happen. And then here God tells Elijah that he's going to send rain. And that was the foundation of persistent praying and sevenfold watching there on the mountaintop that Elijah did to be able to do that. First the ear heard, then the voice persistently claiming, and the eye expectantly looking for that rain. First the voice of God, then the voice of man. That's the way with us today also. This is a true order. Then the tremendous results that always follows that combination. As we know with Elijah, the rain did come. But then we need to train our ear to ear, and we use it right here with this book here. Through this book, we train the inner ear. God spoke his word then. He's still speaking it, and he's speaking through his word today to each one of us. What he spoke through his messenger's lips, it was to get to know him. And that is the way we do it. Through the word, we get to know God, get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to spend time in the book. As I said, we all have busy lives. It's hard to find time many times to do it, but we have to do that. We have to take time to read the word of God, to have communion with God. Or we know that we will not be saved. We will not have that relationship that we need with him. You know, he reveals himself in the dealings with humanity. We read it through the Bible. And then we use this book as a mirror of God's face. We hold up this book and we can see God's face. And we know that it is his word. And that's the purpose of studying the Bible. And studying the word of God. So that we may know him and his Lord and his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the whole duty of man. And so we just study the book, we get to know him. And not studying the book, we won't know him. And we know that we cannot be a child of God. We have to listen. We have to read the book. We get to know God by studying truth. And he himself is truth. God is truth. Jesus Christ is the truth that we know to that. And it's not the book that we need to be concerned about, but it's the God revealed in the book that is our concern. But we do find it through reading the book. Looking at nature is another book that we look at to truly know God as He truly is. And we can look at 2 Samuel chapter 23. We've read this many times here. Story of one of David's men that became mighty. The story of the attack on the camp of by the Philistines when the fighting men were away. Chapter 23, 9 and 10. And after him was Eliezer, the son of Dodo, the Ephahite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. He did. Eleazar's conduct that day became one of the three mighty men that David had in his army. We know that the Philistines were the enemy of Israel. And just the word Philistine draw fear to the hearts of all the Hebrews there. But Eleazar there quietly and quickly gripped his sword and fought the enemy single-handed until we were told there that the muscles of his hands become so rigid around the handle of the sword that he could not tell by the feeling when his hand began or the sword began. And if we were that way today, if God's people had that type of action of service, to absorb the book, to allow the Holy Spirit of Him who is its life to live within, no one would be able to tell the line of the division between God and the man. So I pray that that's that way. God and man, one. Just as God and the Lord Jesus Christ is one in the action of service against the enemy. We know that there's an enemy out there that wants to devour each one of us. And the only way that we can stop that is through the Lord Jesus Christ and having the trust in Him, having the faith and the belief in Him, and living as God wants us to live. We also have to have a spirit mind and be illuminated by the Spirit. And there are simple suggestions in the Bible how to go about that. The first one is, there must be time. And as I said, that time, and that's my work, that's your work. We have to take the time to absorb the book. We need to have a fresh mind so that we may absorb it. So that we have a habitual spending of time in the book every day. And we know that so much time is lost because we have to do other things that we think are more important. We are putting our priorities in the wrong place so that time is lost on us. Second, we need to allow God to talk to us directly through the book. We need to give Him first chance at our ears. Third is to read prayerfully. We need to learn to pray by praying prayerfully. We need to have a spirit-enlightened mind so that we can hear and know how to act by reading the book. Four, to read thoughtfully. One of the suggestive words that are used in the Bible for this is meditate. To mutter as though a man were repeating something over and over again as he turned it over in his mind. To meditate. To read a passage of God over and over again. And as we do that, we find just a bit of something spoken there that we didn't believe was there before. We didn't hear it before. But by turning it over and over in our mind, we hear something new so that we can relate to that. Another word that they use for meditate, but not used much today, is ruminate. And a cow is called a ruminant because she chews the cud. You choose a cud over and over again. And what comes from that? It comes from the cow chewing her cud. Rich milk and cream. By doing that, use that extracted from her food. And that it is the way with us. To take this book, to chew these words, over and over again so that we may know what is there and we can extract that rich cream that's there for each and every one of us. And we do find something new in it each time that we read it over and over again. And we know that this is the freshest book today that we could use. No other book can do what this book does for each one of them. And the fifth suggestion is to read obediently. Let the truth that is revealed in your conscience change your habit and your life. It need to happen. I need to read obediently so that I can change my habit and my life. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. John 7:17. Obedience is truth to the eye of the mind. And so we just need to have that truth every day. And as I said before, the Bible is a mirror held up to God's face so that we may see him. And the light that flows from the pages of this book is a light that floods the historical settings, especially of the Old Testament. And if we look at 3 Psalms, the 5th verse, Psalm 3:5. I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. And it says that this was a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom and his son. And here David was still able to say such words as this, after fleeing the palace because Absalom, his son, was coming to take his kingdom and was even going to take his life, his own son. But he trusted in God so much that he was able to say something like this so that we could read it today. What a God to be able to sleep under such circumstances. I just wonder if we would have been able to do that night if we were there, to be able to sleep under such thing, knowing that somebody was coming to kill us. But you can see the lesson of trust that David had in God, the trust that we can have today also in God and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that each one of us has that trust. We have many things happen in our lives that may take that trust away. But I just pray that something else happens that turns us back to that trust so that we depend on that trust. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is coming the second time to collect his people, to take them home, to spend eternity with them. And I pray that each one of us will be there, that we can spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful master we have, that he may inspire us, these men of old and the Word of God, to be inspired by them because they trusted in God. They trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. They trusted in the Holy Spirit talking to them. And I just pray that we will listen to that voice that speaks to us in whatever way God speaks to us. The word of the scripture, a mirror in God's face, showing God to the world that we may all see how wondrous he is. Because he is our God, he is our creator God, he is our eternal God, and he wants us to be with him. Thank you. And this is a confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Our Father, as we pray that our ears be turned to your voice so that we may hear, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. In his precious name, amen.